Hello and welcome to yet another edition of Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime, heard exclusively here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, and of course on federalnewsradio.com anytime on demand. How are you? My name is Alan Scott. The program is called Ready to Prime, and the idea behind it is to get you, that small business, ready to prime your first opportunity. What are the things you need to know? Who are the people you need to talk to? Where do you need to go to make this happen? Well, business development is very key in the creation of a business and fostering more money coming into the business and such. So if you don't have a good business development pipeline, you're probably not going to be in business very long. Unless, of course, it's a very long contract you've signed. And if you have, sign me up. I would like to be a part of that. But if not, you're going to need strong business development. I have a guy here who happens to be a principal at a company. It's called BD Squared. BD Squared is a company that can do everything I just mentioned. His name is Brian Friel, and I'm so happy to have him here with me. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Good, Alan. Thanks for having me.
Anytime, anytime. BD Squared, an amazing new company that literally does everything from soup to nuts. Give me an idea. First off, why did you start this company? What possessed you to go about going out on your own, yourself, ready to prime, so to speak, and starting a company to help other companies win business?
Yeah, well, so one of the things that we discovered as we were working with companies over the past few years was that companies spend a lot of time bidding on things that maybe they shouldn't.
Sure.
And it's often because they go out and they use commercial databases or free websites to identify opportunities at the point at which they are issued as solicitations.
Okay.
And then pile in with everybody else who's using the same method for identifying opportunities, bidding on them without really understanding the customer very well, without really understanding what the customer wants, and without understanding the competitive landscape. Who are they going up against? And so companies that employ that strategy of sort of hunting and pecking for opportunities and then bidding on them as they pop, that kind of reactive approach, tend not to do very well. And so what we realized was that there's a gap in the market for business development that steps back to the actual cycle in the federal market, which is more in the 18-month time frame.
Okay.
You really need to be looking at opportunities a year and a half out to start figuring out how do I get to know this customer better? Who might I either partner with, or who might I be up against if I compete for this contract? What is it that the agency really needs when they're looking at this kind of service? And start engaging on the ground so that by the time that RFP comes out 12 to 18 months later, or even the RFI comes out as it's prepared, you're in there, you're in the game. And when that RFP comes out, you know you can answer all the questions that I asked at the beginning.
Sure.
Who is the customer? What do they want? Who am I up against? And who am I teamed with? That all of those things should have been answered well in advance. So what BD Squared does is helps companies develop pipelines 18 months out based on their capabilities, and gives them that enough lead time so that they can get all of that information together and have a much stronger chance of winning, and spend their time rather than writing a lot of proposals on stuff they might not win, spending their time doing business development on the ground for maybe fewer things that they actually bid, but more things that they actually win.
So it's fair to say that if you see it released on a website somewhere, it's probably too late.
It's probably too late. Everyone has anecdotes of that one bluebird that they chased and they caught.
Sure.
And that certainly does happen. But by and large, about 85% of the federal market is recompetes. So it's work that that somebody is already doing, and so in some form or fashion. And so yes, there's a 15% new requirements, but even those most new requirements are competed where there's a lot of companies on the ground already that are getting that ground intelligence, getting that information about who they're going to be up against, who they might partner with. So there's very few real bluebirds that you can chase and win. With that in mind, you have to know that there's going to be 10 or 12 companies in any given space, and you need to be in the mix well ahead of time. Otherwise, you're just one of the crowd jumping in and bidding on something, and the customer doesn't know who you are, and Yeah. You're not going to have a leg up over anybody else.
I would imagine that in your conversations with companies, it's pretty eye-opening to them to see the process that you take to get them to the point at which they're ready to go after something. 18 months is a long lead time for someone to sit back and go, hey, let's follow this and trace it. But it behooves them to be that informed.
Yeah, I work with some companies that are largely commercial. Mm-hmm. Most of their clients are commercial. And they have, you know, federal practices, some of them relatively new federal practices. And it's always a learning curve for companies that come out of the commercial space where, you know, a deal can be reached with one meeting and a handshake.
Yeah.
That's just not the way the government works. And
wouldn't that be nice?
And 18, and so recalibrating those commercial companies to realize, no, there's a long lead here that you're going to have to build. And once you get the cadence going, right, then things will start coming with rapidity. But there's that initial period of time where you got to do the legwork and the grunt work to build up. So one of the things we do is we take a big data approach. We pulled together information from the federal procurement data system, from FedBiz Ops, from all the different portals and different mechanisms that agencies use to put out requirements via task orders on contract vehicles. Mm-hmm. Pulled out all that information together to help companies build out that pipeline. As I mentioned, 85% of work is recompete. Mm-hmm. And so what we're able to do with that 18-month lead is say, here's how the government is buying this particular service right now. And let's think about, where's the government going to be in 18 months? You know, maybe this is work that is that might move to the cloud. And if you're a cloud company, you do migration work, then this is an opportunity to get in there before the agency has started deciding in what way they're going to move to the cloud, and start talking to them about how you could help them move to the cloud. And so then the RFP might come out in a way that gives you a leg up, because sure. It's a system that they're going to use a system that you've worked with, or use a socioeconomic indicator or small business set aside that matches what you bring to the table.
You're listening to Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM or on demand anytime at federalnewsradio.com. My name is Alan Scott. My guest is Brian Friel from BD Squared, a company that specializes in business development. Business development in the grand scale, not just looking at one particular procurement office, but looking at them all. And one of the things we had a conversation earlier today, one of the things that was mentioned was the fact that you show no agency, no favoritism. They're all opportunities to you guys.
Yeah, well, the question really for any company should be, what is the customer buying?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first question. What capability or requirements are there? And then you look at who the customer is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, most companies are not in the business of the agriculture department, or they're not in the business of the Air Force.
I got to go work for FERC.
They're in the business of providing a particular service or product.
Right.
And so that's how we look at the market, is through the lens of requirements and capabilities. And then who the customer is one element that you then look at to determine how do you go about trying to win that work.
Sure. And it may very well have to do with timing. It may very well, one agency may be faster at procurement than others. And that's really the only determining factor but work is work, and if it's in your wheelhouse, why not go after it, right?
Yeah, I was working with one company. They were considering hiring someone who had a substantial experience at USAID, and so I ran the analysis to see when, you know, which agencies were going to be buying their capabilities mm-hmm. in the next few years. And USAID really didn't have anything coming up for about three more years in their particular space. So they made it. So that information helped them make a decision to instead focus on the agencies that did have requirements coming up in the next few years. So they ended up hiring someone with more of a DOD, DHS, national security background, because that's where the opportunity was.
Right. Brian Friel is his name. The company is called BD Squared. And I know what you're saying to yourself. Oh, my gosh. It's a business development person. Not quite. There's a little bit more to this story than just business development, because you may have heard Brian allude to the fact that he mentioned the word teammates. And one cool thing about this company that I've found in dealing with BD Squared thus far is the fact that not only will they work with you, but they have a network of companies that they work with. This network of companies get preferential treatment with regard to teaming. So he knows the capabilities of every company that he's working with and can pair you up with the right one to go after the appropriate opportunity. Explain to us how this works, because this is mind-blowing to me. Yes, I can go out and team with companies all day long, but are they the right company?
Right.
They can say, yeah, I can do this, but you've spent a lot of time with that company vetting their information.
That's right, yeah. And so we use both publicly available information as well as information that we gather talking with the companies to determine what is it that they really do. Because if you look at capability statements that companies put out, a lot of them are more what I would call aspirational.
Absolutely.
Rather than
absolutely. Absolutely.
Reality-based. Yeah. And that's great. You know, it's saying, you know, what you really want to do.
Yeah.
But we really look at what have you actually done, because a basic reality of the federal market is you have to have past performance in order to win work. And if you don't have past performance, it's just not going to work out for you.
I can't tell you how many times I've gone, and I know you're listening right now, those of you who are in the same shoes that I'm in, working at Columbia Technology Partners or whatever company you're working for, and you go into a meeting and you go, all right, let's go, we're going to team this up, we're going to make this up. I'm looking at your capability statement, you've got X, Y, and Z. Well, we know people that can do that.
Right.
Really? Here we are. We're ready to start putting pen to paper, and you're going to tell me that you don't quite have that capability?
Right.
You've failed me.
Yeah.
And Brian takes that failure out of the equation.
Well, and one interesting thing is that the government is really moving more and more in their evaluation processes to a more objective methodology that really looks at the past performance specifically. There's these scorecard approaches that have been used by GSA on the Alliant 2 vehicle and on Vets 2 and on OASIS, and the Air Force is using right now.
All of which we're still waiting for. But anyway.
Right. Yeah, it's supposed to speed things up, but it doesn't necessarily speed our end of it up.
Right. They're just as slow as ever.
But, you know, it's an important trend to look at, because it means that the government is less and less looking at your solutioning ideas and more just saying, what have you done lately? And so that's the approach we take when we analyze a company, is we look at what have they done lately, and the company is the collection of their past performances, really, not what their capability statement says.
That's interesting. So it's not so much, let me make sure I understand this. You said the government is looking at it not so much as whether you're able to do the work that they're proposing, but what you've done previously.
Yeah, especially on IDIQ competitions.
Okay.
The Alliant 2 example is a good one. If you bid on that, you may remember that there were 80,000 points available, and most of those points were tied up with you showing that you had relevant experience at the agencies. In that case, they actually didn't ask for a management volume. They didn't ask you to describe how you would tackle the problems of the government.
I gotcha.
They just said, if you have done this kind of work for a federal agency, you get this many points.
Yeah.
And then you add those points up. And so really it became down to whoever had the most relevant experience would be the winner.
We are actually dealing with one right now where the only criteria for one was, do you have DOD experience? Yes. Congratulations. You've gotten these points.
Right. And the government's looking at certifications now more and more. Do you have CMMI? Do you have ISO? Do you have a top secret facility clearance? And in part, that gets back to something we talked about at the beginning. A lot of times, companies are just sort of piling into competitions, and the government does not get quality bids. They're not getting what they want, right?
So
one way to weed out companies is by putting in these kind of very specific objective parameters. You have to have CMMI, you have to have DOD experience, etc. And either assign those as pass-fail elements or assign points to them in such a way that you're really not going to win unless you have that.
Those are the ones that are kind of getting you in the door. Getting you, oh, I've made it past door number 3 because I had CMMI. I've got some ISSOs with CISSPs and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Yeah, okay. All right, I got
you. So that's one of the things we look at in terms of competitive analysis, is we say, okay, the agency is looking for someone with DOD experience, with a top secret facility clearance, with CMMI, and ISO 9000, let's say.
Yeah.
So there's a specific universe of companies that fit those parameters. So we first take that list of companies and then go down from there. Say, okay, now who's got work at the specific agency? That gives them a leg up. Who's done the specific work that's being asked for in these requirements, these definitions? And then we whittle it down there and say, these are the companies we think are most likely to win.
You're listening to Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My name is Alan Scott. By the way, you can listen to the show anytime, on demand, at federalnewsradio.com. Brian Friel is my guest. He's with a company called BD Squared, and they're all about business development and teaming and making sure the right people are in the right seats to go after the right opportunity. Therein lies the difference. He's not just a business development person. In fact, he's a big analytics guy. He knows all kinds of data. This guy, I've known Brian for a few years now, and Brian is, he's got the biggest brain, one of the biggest brains I've ever come across. This guy sees numbers in his sleep and can attribute numbers to success, which I think is outstanding. And he's got a company, it's called BD Squared. I'm not trying to sell his company to you. I'm just telling you about the service that he can provide you as a small business owner. You're looking for some business development services. How might one contact you?
So you can reach out to me on my email, which is BFRIEL, so B Friel, at BDSquaredLLC.com. We have a website, but you'll see that it's actually
it still smells new.
Tear sheet. in part because we're actually not we're not a tool. We're not a you don't subscribe and then get. Right. Data from us, you right. get analysis from us, and that's a key thing. That's a key reason why we actually haven't developed a website is because our view is that anybody can go on FBO or FPDS and get data. What's really the tricky part is really doing the analysis,
the human interpretation of that particular data, and attributing it to success,
right?
Which is the other element that. Is lacking in a lot of cases. I mean, I could spend all day long meeting with customers, meeting with people, and trying to develop that pipeline, but I'm not going to have the robust view that you have, given the access that you have through your network. You've got the ability to see everything.
Yeah, and that's important. You know, about 80% of IT work and probably about 65% of professional services work goes through contract vehicles, and so you're never going to see those on FBO.
Right,
those go through either like eBuy for the GSA schedules or the C4D Task Portal, or sometimes they just get emailed. You know, even stuff on the schedules often just gets emailed to a select group of companies. Some vehicles like Jets at DLA have their own special systems. So you don't see most of the market if you're just sitting there looking at the public websites.
One of the cool things that we talked about earlier today has to do with the ability to shape a procurement, to shape something. You guys, with the view that you have at BD Squared of what's coming down the pipeline, have the ability to not only pick out a prime, pick out some subs, put a team together of sorts, and work with them on putting a proposal together. But you've got grand ideas and can give them guidance on how to make that procurement the best for the company that you're working with.
Yeah, and it goes back to the fact that you have to have a forward view of it. Once the RFP comes out, you're not going to be able to influence where it comes out, right? One of the things we do is we look at how the government's buying behavior is changing from a data-driven perspective and help you use that data to help the government make acquisition strategy decisions in a way that obviously benefits your company. So, for example, you might be a Schedule 70 contract holder and an agency is considering either using Schedule 70 or let's say using the OASIS contract vehicle. Mm-hmm. And in this example, you're not a prime on OASIS. So you need to make the case to the agency why it's in their interest to use Schedule 70. And it's obviously in your interest because you're the prime.
Sure.
Let's say you do a very specific IT service. OASIS is a contract vehicle that has only a few very broad, broadly focused professional services companies. So you can make a really good case to the agency that they're going to get a stronger set of bids from companies that are specialized in the IT service that they're looking for if they go on Schedule 70.
Right.
But you have to do that well in advance. If it's already gone out on OASIS, first of all, you'll never know it until it gets awarded, and second of all, it would be too too late anyway because the train has left the station.
What kind of success have you had on something like that?
A lot of success because, you know, the one of the things I've been struck by is that agencies don't really understand how these vehicles work themselves. And so they might, so someone might at a given agency might hear, oh, well, we've used Oasis for this kind of thing in the past. And they don't really step back and do the research to understand what Oasis is for versus what Schedule 70 is for versus what C4D is for versus what, you know, maybe just doing it out in the phone open market through FBO would bring them. And so so there's a real opportunity for eight companies to help educate the agencies. They're looking for the vehicle that's going to get them the best competition, that's ultimately going to get them the best supplier of the product or service in the way that's the most efficient for the agency. And a lot of times what the agencies initially plan on doing is actually not that. It's right. Not the most efficient way.
What's been the biggest eye-opening mistake that companies have made that have come to you for assistance or guidance? What's been the biggest thing that you've seen them and go, ooh, wow, you do that, huh? Well, you probably shouldn't do that.
Well, I think the most common thing is really basing decisions entirely on relationships. Now, mm-hmm. I think relationships are very important. Obviously, the more customer intimacy you have, the better chance is that you'll win the work. The better you know the companies that you're going to work with, probably the better that the execution will go. So relationships are super important. But entirely relationship-based decisions often are not the best decisions and often don't lead to wins because people don't step back and do a sort of objective analysis on the numbers and say, okay, here's I see a lot of companies bid on stuff without really knowing who the incumbent is. Mm-hmm. And if you did that in an analysis to say, okay, here's the incumbent, and I look and I see actually that incumbent's held that work for two cycles, and actually they've held all of their work recently for two cycles. So this is a company that keeps their customers happy. Maybe my P-win is not so great.
Right.
Whereas they pass on something where, you know, this incumbent is actually not that strong in this particular area. This is the only piece of work that they have in this particular kind of requirement, and they've never won a recompete of this kind of work. And I specialize in it, and so maybe I should bid on it. So it's using data and information and intelligence about the work. I too often see companies making decisions without doing that kind of work.
That's interesting because relationship building is something that's huge. We are always out trying there's mixers, there's meetings, there's all kinds of stuff, happy hours in this community for you to get together and get to know people. That's great. But that's more of an old school mentality, wouldn't you say? Given that years ago, work was done by that handshake, looking in the commercial world. Even in government, years ago, it was probably done by that handshake, but today it can't be done that way with the accountability that needs to be held, that everybody needs to be held to.
Right. And I think, you know, I would suggest to people, yes, it's very important to build those relationships. But before you go to build those relationships, do the analysis first, because then you'll know who it's worth developing a relationship with.
Why waste your time meeting someone new that can't help you? Right. Brian just told me not to meet new people. No. You can't help me, sir. Go away. I'll talk to your sister instead.
I would say when you meet somebody, hopefully you know a lot about them already.
Yeah.
You know, and that's true on the government side, too. When you go in to have meetings with potential clients, it shouldn't just be about you.
Sure.
You should go in knowing as much as you possibly can about them. And the great thing about the government, I'd like to say, is the most transparent market in the world. Mm-hmm. It's also the most opaque. So it's the hardest to understand, even though there's the most data available. But because there is all that data available, you should not go into any meeting with someone from the government without knowing a lot about them.
I went into a meeting with somebody from the government not too long ago. I won't say the agency or the person I met with. Outstanding person. I enjoyed the conversation, but I went in with one bit of information about this person, and it was the fact that they were a huge Washington Nationals fan. So at some point during the conversation, I just peppered in, oh my gosh, what about Rendon last night, right? And he lit up like you wouldn't believe. BD Squared is the name of the company. Brian Friel, principal over there. Where can people reach you again? What's your email address?
It's BFRIEL, so B Friel. Mm-hmm. At BD Squared LLC com.
So if you look into your big crystal ball for a technical services company like ours, Columbia Technology Partners, what are some of, or give me, toss out some contract vehicles that I might want to be taking a look at?
Well, a key thing I would say at this point in time is that most of the contract vehicles are now in source selection.
Duh,
in the IT
space.
Killing
me, and I'm on all of them probably. Waiting.
I think about like Alliant 2, Vets 2, Stars 2 just got awarded, CIOSP 3 on ramp underway, ITES 3S, Encore 3, Disassetti. These are all out the door. We're waiting for source selection. Yeah. So what I would say to most companies at this point, there are going to be a few vehicles that pop out here and there. In particular agencies like Patent and Trademark Office has a software development and integration contract that's coming up pretty soon. And NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, is working through its ProTech vehicles and has a big enterprise operations contract in the works. So there are some little things like that and a fair number of blanket purchase agreements coming out that are agency specific. But the big kahuna contract vehicles, they're largely going to be awarded in the next 6 months or so.
Okay.
And so, but that's okay because really the money is at the task order level. No money changes hands at the IDIQ level.
This is true.
So once things are awarded, the playing field is set. Either you're prime or you're going to be subbing. And so the landscape will be there. And so then again, you can use that to say, okay, where is this work going to move? Which contract vehicles? I think Alliant 2 is going to be huge, both on the small business side and on the unrestricted side. Mm-hmm. I think we could easily see $3 to $4 billion in work moving through those vehicles very quickly by the third year of operation. Alliant and Alliant Small Business already are seeing north of $3 billion a year move through them. So I think those central GWACs are going to expand. And so for any company that there's going to be a ton of new primes on those vehicles, but there's going to be also plenty of opportunity to sub because there's no restrictions on teaming on those vehicles. So those are ones I would really encourage everybody to keep an eye on.
Why are we waiting so long for these, Brian? Why are we waiting so long? What is the holdup? Just start awards. Just selecting. Please, get to selecting. I want to hurry up and move this ball forward.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. It's like that 18-month pipeline that we focus on, that's kind of fast. If an IDIQ got awarded that quickly, everyone would be jumping for joy. And, you know, the stakes are so high on these contract vehicles that agencies are really taking their time, dotting their I's, crossing their T's, and they know they're going to get protested anyway.
They're trying to mitigate the number of protests they get. I get it. It's just painful, Brian. It's very painful. If anything you could do to fix that, that'd be great.
Well, you know, I actually thought that we would see Vets 2 awarded by now. The GSA just put out a notice saying, hey, we're still working on it. See you in 2017. Yeah. But the reality is these new scorecard approaches, they use a method that they only have to look at as many awards as bids as they're going to make awards. So it should be faster. But I do think that agencies are just being very diligent about making sure that all the compliance stuff is followed to
their diligence is driving me insane. Anyway, BD Squared is the name of the company. His name is Brian Friel. You can email him anytime, bfriel, F-R-I-E-L, at bdsquaredllc.com. And I want to thank him for being a part of the program.
Thanks for having me on. It's a blast as always.
Anytime. This has been Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime. Heard exclusively on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And find us on demand anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Keyword, Ready to Prime.